Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tian Yu. Coming up in this edition, the United States has vetoed a UN draft resolution that sought to grant Palestine full membership of the UN General Assembly. Security officials in Israel have confirmed that Israel has launched an attack on Iran. And lawyers have selected all 12 jurors who will decide whether former U.S. President Donald Trump is guilty in a hush money criminal case. We begin with the United Nations. The United States has vetoed a UN draft resolution that would have paved the way for full UN membership for Palestine. The draft introduced by Algeria received 12 votes in favor, 2 abstentions, and 1 against. The U.S. veto has drawn wide condemnation. Jody Jacobs has more from New York.
The outcome of this meeting inside the UN Security Council chamber was a foregone conclusion. However, there was widespread expectation that it would not end the way it did. In the end, though, the United States stopped the UN from recognizing Palestine as an official state by using its veto in the Council. And Palestine's hopes to become the 194th member of the UN dashed.
There was not unanimity among committee members as to whether the applicant met the criteria for membership as set forth in Article 4 of the UN Charter. For example, there are unresolved questions as to whether the applicant meets the criteria to be considered a state. We have long called on the Palestinian Authority to undertake necessary reforms to help establish the attributes of readiness for statehood.
12 countries voted in favor of the resolution. The United Kingdom and Switzerland abstained. Algeria, who spearheaded the vote on behalf of the Arab group, says this is an unforgivable mistake.
It is time for Palestine to take its rightful place among the community of nations. Seeking a UN membership is a fundamental expression of Palestinian self-determination. The admission strengthens, not undermines, the two-state solution, a solution constantly under threat from those who seek to erase Palestinian identity.
In response to the vote, member states voiced their disappointment, with Russia's permanent representative saying history will not forgive the United States.
The veto by the U.S. delegation is a hopeless attempt to stop the inevitable course of history. The results of the vote, where Washington was practically in complete isolation, speak for themselves.
China says it's a sad day for the Palestinian people, saying the U.S. assertions that Palestine does not fulfill the necessary criteria to be admitted to the U.N. are disingenuous.
The decade-long dream of the Palestinian people ruthlessly dashed. China finds the decision by the U.S. most disappointing.
The Arab group says they will continue to lobby for Palestinian recognition at the United Nations.
That was Jody Jacobs reporting from New York. China has expressed regret over the U.S. veto. Top envoy Fu Cong called it a sad day and said a Palestinian membership has been long overdue. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has condemned the action, calling it unfair and unethical. In the Middle East, security officials in Israel have confirmed that Israel has launched an attack on Iran. Local media say Iran has activated its air defense system in several regions. Iran says its nuclear facilities in Isfahan are safe. Tehran's airport temporarily suspended flights. Syria's defense ministry says Israel launched missiles at air defense facilities in southern Syria. There were also media reports about explosions in Iraq. Meanwhile, northern Israel heard sirens earlier in the day. Local media say the alarm was likely triggered by drones flying in from Lebanon. Sam Metnick with the Associated Press has more.
Iran's semi-official state media said that explosions, blasts were heard over the central city of Isfahan in the northwest part of the city. Now, Iran has activated its defense system. There are also commercial flights that diverted from western Iran. This does come days after Israel said that it was going to strike Iran back for the missile strike that happened over the weekend. Israel's war cabinet has been meeting to discuss how they were going to respond. Now, Isfahan has military bases. It also has sites that support Iran's nuclear program. But Israel's state media has reported that Israeli officials had told United States officials that it was not going to strike civilians or nuclear facilities. We have these applications that show the air alarms going off, and several air alarms did go off in the north of Israel this morning. It's unclear if they were false alarm or not, but Israel could be on high alert right now because Iran had said that is if Israel hits it back, it said that it's going to strike Israel harshly and quickly.
That was AP reporter Sam Metnick in Jerusalem. U.S. officials also told media in the country that Israel had attacked Iran. A CNN report on Thursday said a senior Israeli official had notified the U.S. ahead of the retaliation. Nick Hopper has this update from Washington.
Various other bits of information that has been reported, the U.S. military saying that this strike was, in their words, limited. They also say that the U.S. was given notification ahead of this strike by Israel, but saying that the U.S. did not endorse the attack, also making it clear from U.S. officials that the U.S. was not involved in any of this action, that this was Israel acting alone. Well, it does seem as if the main strike seemed to be located around Isfahan in the northwestern part of the city. It's about a four-hour drive from the capital, Tehran. One of the Iran state television networks there is saying that Isfahan has not been attacked. And yet another Iranian channel has been saying that three drones were shot down over the city. Other reports from Iranian state media saying that the nuclear facilities that are located in the city are secure and they remain unharmed. That reporting coming from Iranian state television suggesting that the battery systems, the air defense systems that Iran has set up, were firing at objects in the air. As I mentioned, another report suggested that three drones had been downed over the city. But it does seem clear, at least from that one report, and like I say, there are other conflicting reports, that those air defense systems were in action and that they certainly were shooting at something, some projectile that was in the sky earlier on.
That was Nick Hopper with reports from the US and Iran about the Israeli strike. In Europe, EU leaders are in Brussels to discuss competitiveness and the single market. This comes amid concerns that the bloc is falling behind when it comes to creating the conditions for investment. But leaders have been divided on the best way to fix that. Stuart Smith reports from Brussels.
The mammoth task of working out why the EU is perceived as less investable than geopolitical competitors was given to former Italian Prime Minister Enrico Letta after publishing his 147-page report earlier this week. Thursday saw EU leaders debate his analysis and his recommendations.
There's no time to waste. The gap between the European Union and the US in terms of economic performances is becoming bigger and bigger.
The medicine he would prescribe is creating a single market for energy, telecoms, and the financial industry. Those three massive industries remain largely fragmented. Each EU member state controls and regulates each of those itself. A more joined-up market, the logic goes, is a more investable one and a more competitive one. An emphasis on climate neutrality, digital systems, and the circular economy are all meant to help. The bloc's two largest economies, France and Germany, are in full support, but any EU-wide market would require EU oversight, ceding more power to Brussels. That irks some nations. Ireland and Luxembourg in particular have an edge when it comes to encouraging investors to do business in the EU through them. So, for example, while harmonising corporate tax laws might sound good for the bloc, Those two nations are worried about losing their competitive edge. There's also concern about how the changes would be funded and to what degree money should come from public or private finance. Public financing would require issuing more debt, something Austria is against. So while this marks the first formal effort at changing the strategic orientation of the EU single market, it's going to take a lot more refining and debate before investors and citizens will notice a difference.
That was Stuart Smith reporting on the latest EU Council meeting. Turning to North America, a New York court has sworn in 12 jurors and one alternate in the hush money trial against former U.S. President Donald Trump. The third day of his court proceedings concluded on Thursday. Throughout the day, defense and prosecution lawyers selected jury candidates with plans to choose five more. William Denslow reports from New York.
This comes after a turbulent day at court here in Lower Manhattan. The day started with seven members of the jury already confirmed, but that soon whittled down to five. One juror citing concerns about her identity being made public despite jurors being anonymous during this case. She said that was due to how she was being described in the media. Another juror was dismissed citing credibility concerns, but the judge didn't elaborate on what those credibility concerns exactly were. However, in a flurry of activity during the afternoon session, 12 members of the jury were confirmed and indeed ultimately sworn in. Judge Juan Merchan hopes that opening statements could begin as early as Monday. After the jurors were selected, Donald Trump again railed against this case, to which he has pleaded not guilty to the 34 counts that he faces.
Just say that I'm supposed to be in New Hampshire. I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning. But I'd be here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial.
And there's still the issue of Donald Trump's gag order that needs to be addressed. Prosecutors allege he has been violating this order placed on the former president by Judge Merchan. Donald Trump has railed against that, saying that it is unconstitutional. Prosecutors allege he's been violating it, warning the former president that such actions could result in fines or even facing up to 30 days in prison. A hearing on the matter of whether Trump has been violating that gag order has been scheduled for Tuesday.
That was William Denslow reporting on the criminal trial of Donald Trump. Finally, in Asia, voters in India are heading to the polls as the country's general election gets underway. Prime Minister Narendra Modi is seeking a third term. The voting process will last several weeks and the results are expected in June. Ravina Bawa has details about the main candidates and what they are campaigning for.
Around 166 million voters will be exercising their voting right. On the 4th of June, we will see the results coming out. Bharatiya Janata Party, which is the party which belongs to the Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and the allies of this party are pitted against a dozen opposition parties who've allied together to, you know, combat this force. The Bharatiya Janata Party, of course, their candidate is Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who is a very popular leader in the country at the moment, and even the surveys which are coming out are saying, and all the analysts and experts are saying, that of course there will be a third term for BJP and its allies. The issues are important. The Bharatiya Janata Party is once again seeking credit for the infrastructural development, for economic expansion, and for also taking India on the world map, while the Congress and the allies are talking about issues like unemployment, price rise, and also talking about freedom of expression, talking about saving democratic rights in this country. So these are the issues which are in the fray, corruption also being one of the major issues. While BJP says that they have freed India of corruption, the opposition accuses them that the corruption is the highest in the country at the moment. So let's see what the voters decide.
That was Ravina Bawa in Delhi. Recapping today's headlines. The United States has vetoed a UN draft resolution that sought to grant Palestine full membership of the UN General Assembly. Security officials in Israel have confirmed that Israel has launched an attack on Iran. And lawyers have selected all 12 jurors who will decide whether former US President Donald Trump is guilty in a hush money criminal case. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports, and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, the one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tian Yu. Thank you for listening.